Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm so excited to have Catherine Tabor as today's guest. Catherine is a seasoned entrepreneur who has founded and scaled several businesses over the last 20 years. Currently, Catherine is the founder and CEO of Sparkfly, an offer management solutions company. Catherine has been named one of Mobile Marketer's Mobile Women to Watch, one of Hospitality Technology's 2020 Top Women in Restaurant Technology, and one of the Software Report's top 50 women leaders in SaaS. Sparkfly was also just awarded the Silver Stevie American Business Award for its integration solution in May 2020. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Of course. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Sure. So, Ashley, as you mentioned, I'm the CEO of a company called Sparkfly, and what we do is we provide a real-time item-level connectivity between promotions and offers, coupons, digital coupons, print coupons, and the physical and above-store or online ordering point-of-sale system. So, with companies like Chipotle, as an example, that's a great customer of ours, we provide what we call the offer wallet, which lives within the Chipotle app. And anytime you earn a reward or a coupon or get a promotion from digital media, you can store that offer or promotion in their app and use it seamlessly in store within the transaction flow. And we kind of power all of that and the data that flows between all of those applications for them. So that's actually what we do. We're bridging media and the physical and above store point of sale system.
Wonderful. And what was your journey like when you were starting your first business over 20 years ago? So what was that and what was it like starting a business while young?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I was thinking about in preparing for this conversation, you know, 20 years seems like both yesterday and a long time ago when I think about it. But I started my first business. Actually, I think I was always an entrepreneur at heart, but I was a student at Georgia State. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I was a student at Georgia State and was working to earn some extra money really to fund school, and decided that I would walk dogs and house sit for people to earn extra school money. So I printed a bunch of flyers and stuffed mailboxes and really started kind of a concierge service for individuals in my community. And I was newly married and my husband worked for an internet design firm, and I paid them $600 to build a website for my errand company. And at the time, the Coca-Cola company here in Atlanta had decided as a large employer that they could offer discounts and promotions to their employees as a perk. So they would go to their best customers like Disney and Six Flags and AMC movie theaters and offer discounted movie tickets to their employees as a benefit. And it was being run by the HR department, and it wasn't seen as very strategic, and they really wanted to outsource it. And so they started an internet search for a concierge company. And my errand business popped up in their search, which is interesting. You know, this is 20 years ago. So I don't know that I had spent a lot of time thinking about SEO, but I was invited to participate in the RFP for this project with a lot of other large national companies. And at the time, I didn't even know what an RFP was. I answered the questions like a term paper. I was in my very early 20s during this process, and went in and convinced them that I could manage the business, and actually won the business to start managing this employee discount program for the Coca-Cola company. At that time, I left school because it was an opportunity I really just had to take. and started calling other companies, big companies in the Atlanta area, and landed contracts with Delta Airlines and SunTrust Bank and Emory University to manage the same type of business, which was really just online coupon codes for discounts for employees as a perk. And I bootstrapped that business and built it to manage employee discounts for about 1 million employees nationally, and ran that as the lifestyle company for a long time. I went and tried to raise venture capital to expand my business, but early in my career, you know, I was in my early 20s, I was Southern, I was female, I didn't have any business experience, and so I wasn't really the ideal candidate for venture investment. So I just figured out a way to build and bootstrap the company to profitability. So that was a business that I ran. Actually, I still own. We still manage those programs for Coke. I think we just renewed our contract with them for the 22nd year. But over time, I started to realize that online coupons had really become very commoditized. There are companies, you know, in the marketplace like RetailMeNot who scour the internet for coupon codes. And what was really the missing link in the marketplace was the ability to track an online promotion that you could actually take into the store and use in the store. And so really that initial business that I have been running for such a long time was the genesis of what Sparkfly is today, because I saw these gaps in the market and decided to actually go and start a new business that solved the problem of connecting the dots between the digital world and the physical store.
That's amazing. And one thing that I love about your story is that what you had started with was really just dog walking and housing for people. And through a Google search, here's what happened.
You know, it's so funny. I think back to all, to those times, and, you know, there are just so many, you know, sequence of events. I mean, when Coke first called me, they didn't tell me who they were, but I had caller ID and I saw that it was Coke. And, you know, I was newly married and, you know, really kind of struggling to make ends meet. And I can remember the first meeting they invited me to. I was concerned that I was going to have to pay for breakfast. And I can remember going to the grocery store with my big bucket of change and changing it in so that I would have the money, you know, to fund a breakfast for a number of people if I needed to. I mean, you do these things as an entrepreneur to make it work, right? I mean, you have to figure things out. And, you know, I those were fun times, honestly. I think, you know, I feel like I was very brave. I mean, I think I'm still brave, but I think, you know, in those younger days, it was just, it was exciting to build something like that and, you know, figure the pieces out.
Absolutely. And I know that for many people that being able to work with a company as huge as Coca-Cola would be someone's dream. So what was that like when you actually received that phone call and realized who it was that was calling you? Like, did you face imposter syndrome or worry that things might not go your way?
Not really. You know, it's interesting. I still have a copy of the RFP that I've submitted. You know, and it's funny because they asked for an organizational chart as part of it. And my sister is on it. The guy who was doing my accounting was my CFO. You know, it's funny now that you look back, but it, I think one of the biggest lessons that I had during that time, especially working as a small, very agile business. I mean, at that time it was just me, with a large corporation is realizing I had to have patience with a big organization like that. Right. I mean, right. We want to affect change and see things happen and get answers quickly. And I think even in my business life today, you know, I have to remind myself that we have a lot of very large corporations as customers that have processes and levels of decision making that just don't happen in an entrepreneurial environment. And so I think that was probably the biggest learning curve for me, was, you know, understanding that I had to be patient and kind of work within the system. And I think for me, I've said this to my husband so many times, almost all of our customers are really big companies, and I don't know that I could ever actually work inside a really big company, because I think that I would find that frustrating. But it certainly has been fun to, you know, be that agile vendor of theirs that's helping them solve problems.
Yeah, and I can absolutely see why. What would you say was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
People telling me that it wasn't possible. I bet I've heard no 10,000 times. Yeah. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I think, you know, grit and determination and perseverance to me is really the most, I think, the most valuable trait that I've had in success. And so I try to impart on her that, you know, people are going to tell you no, and there are going to be roadblocks in your path every step of the way. But if you truly believe in what you're doing, you continue. I mean, I had venture capitalists, you know, say, "Catherine, you know, sometimes you just don't know when to quit." And I thought, well, you never quit if you really believe in what you're doing. So,
yeah.
That for me, the other thing is that I've learned over time to trust myself and to listen to that internal voice that is guiding me. And, you know, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with people who are trying to put doubt in your mind. I think it's this idea that, oh, you can't do this, or, oh, you know, you need all of these more experienced people around you. And while I think advisors and, you know, mentors are so, so important, I still think that you ultimately have to trust yourself and your instincts.
Right.
And I think that's been real important, a real important lesson for me too.
Yeah, and it's a great one to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. On the opposite end of that, what was the most rewarding part of starting your business while young?
You know, as of the most recent days, I mean, I've been on this journey for a long time. And, you know, even back in the earliest days when I started managing this platform at Coke, you know, very early in my career, I saw that there was missing connectivity in this ecosystem, right? Even as I was managing these promotions online, I thought, gosh, this really, there could be so much more to a platform that is really helping these merchants connect with consumers and helping people, you know, make the right decisions and drive sales and have relevant promotions offered to you as a person. I saw that many, many years ago. And, you know, it took a long time to really achieve that goal. I mean, we launched Chipotle on our application in 2017. And, you know, I started working with Coca-Cola in 2000. So watching this little, you know, grain of sand that was a dream start a long, long time ago, suddenly be a international connected platform that was driving, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in sales for leading corporations in an environment where I had been told no a million times was amazing, right? And I think that's something that that, you know, I've really aspired. It's been more about really getting the solution to market and having adoption for me,
yeah,
more than anything else.
It's almost like one of those moments where you take a step back and you're like, I actually did that. Like, you know what I mean?
I just kind of did that when I was telling you about it. I just got to relive that for a minute. No, but I think it's that. And sometimes you get so heads down, you probably know this in your own business, that, you know, you're driving, and it's great to kind of look up and say, gosh, you know, we've gotten this far or we've crossed this hurdle. But I'm a big proponent of, you know, make the plan and work the plan. Know where it is that you want to end up and kind of work backwards. You know, I can remember in my early days, I used to call it the backwards math. I knew that we had, you know, a certain amount of money in the business, and I would, you know, put it at the top of the piece of paper, and I'd work backwards on, you know, all the bills we had to pay or all the things that we needed to do and kind of fill in the gaps that way. But I mean, it's super humble beginnings, but I think you just, you know, if you know where you want to go, that's an important piece too, right?
Yeah. And being able to look back on where you were when you started is so helpful for when something goes wrong, because I think if something goes wrong, we tend to easily fall into that trap of feeling discouraged and disappointed and getting so hard on ourselves. But then we can put things into perspective and be like, well, wait a minute, look at where we were last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And it's like this little inconvenience almost doesn't even mean anything anymore, because it's almost nothing in what you've been able to accomplish over the years.
I could completely agree. And I think, you know, I was very fortunate that I had encouragers around me. I mean, I have an incredibly supportive husband. Both of my parents were school teachers. And so when I decided to become an entrepreneur, it was kind of foreign to them. Like they were, you know, very traditional people. But, you know, they took a loan out, a $5,000 loan against their Honda Accord, and loaned me money when I first got the contract with Coke so that I could expand and grow the business. And that was a big step for them. And I think it's knowing that, you know, people believed in me was very helpful throughout that time.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned that one of the things that led you to your success was having grit, determination, and perseverance. But would you say that there was anything else that led you to this point?
Sure. I think you have to be creative, right? I think you have to be willing to take a step back and really think outside the box. You have to have that perseverance and will, to help you understand that there are, you know, multiple ways to get to a goal, but creativity is certainly important. I think for me, good, you know, working on communication skills and, you know, being open to relationships with people and finding those helpers. I mean, I have made bad decisions so many times, and I have brought people in and been trusting in times that have been really quite harmful to the business. But I haven't ever really lost that willingness to let people in and trust. I mean, I see early signs of, you know, danger, Catherine, take a step back, a lot better than I did in my early days. But I think, you know, I've been open to, you know, relationships and opportunities. And you know, I say to my team, even today, you know, we're going to look under every rock for opportunities in our business and keep kind of driving. And that that spirit has stuck with me through the entire time.
I love that. And especially because oftentimes with opportunities come the need to adapt or shift. I mean, as we've seen throughout this entire 6 months of 2020 so far, the need to adapt. And so being able to look for those opportunities as they come to you and be able to act upon them is huge.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I think too, actually, as a small agile business, we've been able to take that spirit and mindset to our customers during this time, which I think is, you know, really appreciated by them. Because again, you know, earlier in our conversation, I talk about, you know, how these big companies kind of get mired a little bit in, you know, just their infrastructure and their organizational structure, and having partners who are creative and are, you know, easily adapted to, you know, different times in the market, I think are very helpful. Now, we've been very fortunate, you know, I've mentioned Chipotle a couple of times, you know, they're a remarkable company. I think they still have very much an entrepreneurial mindset as a business, even though they're a large company. you know, but we've certainly worked. Great Clips is another customer of ours. And, you know, they, I think, appreciate, you know, the fact that we really are creative. We bring them creative solutions all the time.
Definitely. And Catherine, if there is one thing that you wish you did differently when you were just starting out, when you were young, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
You know, I'm a believer that I am where I am because of the decisions I've made, all of them. So I don't live in a lot, I have no regret, and I know that wasn't your question. But I think if there was one thing that I wish that I had more fully embraced, it would have been trusting myself and believing in the abilities that I had instinctively, even though I did not have a lot of experience yet.
And that's something that's so important yet so hard, because imposter syndrome is something that so many people face. It's like, well, what do I know? Can I actually do this? Do I really deserve to be charging people for this? I mean, it's hard, but you're absolutely right. Being able to trust yourself will get you so much further in a quicker way.
Right. And I say to myself, I've said this to myself the entire journey, is why not me? I mean, why not me? I mean, I, you know, I see other people with success, you know, I can do that too. And I think it's that belief, like, I deserve this too. I mean, why not me? Right. I can do this. So I think that's a really important message.
And I think it's a great perspective to have too, because it's like, if anyone can do it, then what's stopping you from being able to do the same thing and achieve better or bigger results?
Totally. I agree.
And why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
You know, I think for me, I tell the people that work with me, sometimes they'll come to me with a question and I'll say, I don't know. This is the first job I've ever had. I wasn't jaded, right? I mean, I started early and I had all of the optimism of my youth. And the bravery of youth, before I had the responsibilities of, you know, a mortgage or a child, or, you know, I was able to really kind of jump in with both feet because I was young and I didn't have a lot of things tying me down or holding me back. So I think for me, you know, I got in this early and it became my mindset and my lifestyle. And I think it's made it easier for me to continue down the road. I mean, I've hired people in the past who were very successful, you know, big corporate executives. And I've watched them come into the business and be terrified. You know, these, you know, guys that were supposed to be, you know, so successful and brave. And I you know, being an entrepreneur, is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you know, you're taking risks every day. And I think if you kind of had those golden handcuffs on you and you have the security of a big organization, which, by the way, I think is a myth. I mean, we, you know, for years I've had people say, gosh, you know, your business, you know, going into a small business is so risky, but I've watched the layoffs happen in our big customers over and over again. So, you know, the very first person who I ever hired 22 years ago actually works at our company today. So, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, that perceived risk. So I think it's that. I think it's starting early and not being jaded or fearful.
Yeah. And I love that you talked about that stability, because I know personally that was one thing that I struggled with, is that, well, when I start my business, what if there's no guarantee? What if I don't get any clients? Or what if one day all my clients drop me and stuff like that? And I kept thinking, well, a 9-to-5 would be more stable, but you're absolutely right. There have been so many people who have, unfortunately, especially during this time, been furloughed or laid off, but then there are small businesses who aren't affected at all by any of this, or even thriving. And so you have more stability when you have the full control over decisions that are being made in your company compared to when people work for someone else. And so I think I definitely agree with you that it's an amazing feeling.
It is. I mean, you control your destiny, right? I mean, it's, you know, okay, I need more, we need more sales. I'm going to need to get on the telephone and make that happen. I mean, there's stress and fear in that, but there's empowerment in that too, that you're not just sitting in the back of the bus, right? You're driving and you get to you have full visibility into your destiny.
Absolutely. And one thing that I think that's also really, really interesting about your journey is the fact that you have started and scaled multiple businesses. And so what was that process really like of just being able to, one, identify different passions that you had that would be able to turn into businesses, and two, actually be able to manage it all without feeling like you have a million different things going on?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, all of the businesses that I'm involved in or that I've started actually relate to each other. So I think that's been helpful because I know that I have an expertise in my area of business that's valuable, right? I mean, I kind of learned on the job, but I have, you know, 22 years of knowledge and experience to draw on, which is great. You know, the key to scaling any business, whether it's one business or three businesses, is having great people around you who you trust and who are good at the things that you aren't, and giving them the freedom to do their job. And
You're absolutely right.
You know, I'm not a micromanager. My team will tell you I hate meetings. You know, I lose interest and attention in about 10 minutes. So I've really taught them in communicating with me, you know, get to the point quickly. Let's, you know, come to me with a solution that you have in mind. You know, let's kind of figure this out. And that's all been a learning part of my journey, right? I mean, to my point earlier, I've made plenty of mistakes, but I've learned who I am and what I need in order to operate a successful organization. And I have to say, at this point, 22 years in, you know, I'm surrounded by a group of people who, you know, I just respect so much and feel like have brought so much to the table. You know, I couldn't do this without them at all. They're fantastic.
I fully agree. And I love that you had pointed that out of being able to scale by building a team, because that's exactly what I found worked with my business. When I first started my marketing firm, which is called Dash of Social, it was just me, and I really specialized in social media, hence the name. But I had current clients and potential clients who were coming to me looking for other services that I wasn't good at or didn't really know how to do and that I wasn't offering. And so one day I'm like, wait a minute, I'm turning all these people away and referring them to other people when I could be adding on people to my team and then therefore making more money and being able to support these clients. And so once I started offering these new services and building a team who would be able to support me with that, that's when I started seeing my income grow more and more month after month. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, who would have thought? But you're so right that just being able to surround yourself with people who are talented like that and who really feel invested in your business can do so much for it.
I totally agree. Yeah. And you know, your job is to guide the ship, right? Your job is to keep them invested in the dream and give them a vision and map out a path to where you want to go. And then, you know, you bring in people who can, you know, I don't have a business degree. So, you know, I have a great, you know, finance manager who helps me understand projections and Excel spreadsheets and budgets and, you know, all of these pieces, or someone who really is great at sales, even though I think, you know, my job is as a salesperson as well, but I'm more of an instinctive salesperson. But, you know, someone who can build a funnel and a pipeline and track things and build a CRM and all those kind of things. So, you know, bringing in folks who have those skill sets has just been critical, actually, to our success.
100%. And Catherine, you have shared so much awesome advice throughout this episode. And now I'd like to ask you that if there was one last piece of advice you could share with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out, what would it be?
Don't give up. Don't give up. It absolutely is going to be hard. You're absolutely going to make mistakes and have disappointments, and people will tell you no. And it's not easy, but if you're doing something that you truly have passion about and believe, you know, can change the world, don't give up.
Absolutely. It's the passion that can really keep that drive going and keep you bringing you closer to success.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, Catherine, this has been a great episode. And now I'd love you if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Oh, yeah. So our website is www.sparkfly.com, and our contact information is there.
Perfect. And I'll put those links in the show notes as well, so that way in case anyone misses them, they can click through and connect.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming on. And I know that these listeners will find everything so valuable.
Thanks, Ashley. I appreciate the time so much.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.